Order.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, the government has a strong focus on helping young people develop the skills they need to move into work. Today we announced a new target to have 50,000 people training in apprenticeships by 2020, an additional 8,000 on the current levels of 42,000.
But a new target for the Prime Minister was an admission of failure for the Leader of the Opposition.
Putting aside the government's latest admission of failure today, why has the number of Pacifica youth who are unemployed increased by 67% on his government's watch?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, I refer the member to the fact that the government's lowering the NEET rate further with more apprenticeships from Maori and Pacific trades training, trade academies and skills hubs, Mr Speaker.
Andrew Little complained that John Key had failed to answer his question.
The question I asked related to the rise in the number of Pacifica unemployment.
The Speaker, David Carter, told Mr Little to have another go.
Why has the number of Māori youth who have been unemployed for more than a year gone up by 48% since 2012?
Are the Right Honourable Prime Minister?
Mr Speaker, I don't have those details, but what I do have with me is that there are 17,600 more Pacifica in employment in the past year alone.
Mr Key's Deputy and Finance Minister Bill English further developed this theme with the help of a patsy question.
Well, Mr Speaker, I've seen proposals for creating work for young people at a time when the unemployment rate has dropped below 5%, which means that there are significant numbers of jobs out there. Already, it's a matter of getting young people on a path that allows them to take those opportunities.
The Finance Minister's figures were backed by one of his national backbenchers, Melissa Lee.
Our unemployment is at the lowest level in years, at 4.9%, sir. We are the envy of the world.
But another dispute over statistics arose when Mr English was questioned by his Labour shadow, Grant Robertson.
Can the Finance Minister confirm that since 2008, incomes for beneficiaries in real terms have fallen by 4%?
The Honourable Bill English.
Mr Speaker, no, and I think the person who did those numbers for the member was the same one who did the numbers for his job scheme, which was, actually I think was probably him.
And Mr English had a similar answer to this question from Labour's finance spokesman.
Can the Minister confirm that wealth inequality in New Zealand has grown on his watch?
The Honourable Bill English.
No.
Its economic and financial figures in dispute, the government introduced a new measurement for a health check on the public health system, with this question for the Minister of Health, Jonathan Coleman, from one of his own national backbenchers, Mark Mitchell.
Can he confirm that 3,850 patients received a colonoscopy in August 2016, an increase of 45% compared with 2,649 colonoscopies carried out in July 2013.
Order. The Honourable Dr Jonathan Coleman.
Excellent question. Yes, this is the result of the extra $15 million that the government has invested since 2013 to deliver more colonoscopies and reduce colonoscopy waiting times. That's resulted in a 65% decrease in the number of patients waiting longer than recommended for a colonoscopy.
To be sure of making his point, the Minister had another patsy lined up.
Supplementary, Mr Speaker.
Supplementary question, Chris Bishop.
Oh, thank you, Mr Speaker. To the Minister of Health, what progress is being made with the rollout of a national bowel screening program?
The Honourable Dr Jonathan Coleman.
Mr Speaker, the national bowel screening program remains on track for rollout next year, starting with the Hutt Valley DHB, as well as the Wairarapa DHB.
Health Minister Jonathan Coleman in Question Time, which was followed by the general debate, including this contribution from the New Zealand First Party spokeswoman on women's affairs, Tracy Martin.
I want to talk about a survey that has come out, that came out in August, that was a research project released by Lincoln University that showed that 57% of rural women surveyed find isolation their top issue.
A Facebook page had been set up with 6,000 members.
They have asked for the possible support of a full-time counsellor to be provided so that the women who are part of this social network group can have a professional that they can speak to.
The cost of providing the service would be $15 a head per annum.
The Rural Mental Health Initiative is attempting to do what they can, But without literal support from this government, women will continue to suffer, women will continue to fail and continue to be among the suicide statistics of our rural communities. Kia ora.
Tracy Martin, Women's Affairs Spokeswoman for the New Zealand First Party. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.